Glory. Good morning. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is always an awesome thing. Life of God in us is an awesome thing. And when we begin to see and to know this life and walk in the way of the change that it brings. Because see, the life of God, when it touches you, it brings change. But that change brings a strong place. It becomes a fortified place within us. And so, out of all that, we've been talking recently. We were talking last week about condemnation. And out of that, I also want to begin to just speak about, because see, condemnation is one of those things that wants to speak into your life. But see, also the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak into your life. He speaks with us, and when we do that, we're open to have a conversation. What we want to do is engage in conversation and exchange with the Lord. And one of the ways that he does it in Joshua is for him to just be able to see some rather remarkable things around him. And as he sees that, he begins to understand what the Lord is doing both in him and in the environment that is around him. And so therefore that builds faith. Because when we begin to see and perceive what God is doing in our life, faith comes. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. But see, faith coming by hearing is not just the audible thing that we do as we're exchanging in a teaching moment. But see, faith coming by hearing could be just simply by perceiving what God is doing in your life. Faith coming by hearing means that knowing that God is there and that there's an exchange going on between us. Because as we know that he's there and that there's an exchange going on between us, there's an awakening to the process of faith in our heart. It becomes possible for us to now begin to step out in things that we would never have thought of. I'm just excited for Josh because I know and see that he's now living in a very different way than he did before these things began to happen. Why? Because he now understands that God is with him in a remarkable way. And so out of that, those are the kind of things that we're looking for. And notice the thing that early on he said that he was his own fan. Why? Because he didn't believe anybody else was his fan. Why? Because the voice of condemnation had been speaking in his life. Voice of condemnation has often spoken in most of our lives as Christians, and yet what we have to do is now learn how to separate out that familiar spirit from the Holy Spirit. Because see, we can all hear, the deal is that which voice are we hearing, and sometimes that's an issue for us to separate. So what we want to do is begin to learn how does God speak with us? And how is that different from the other things that we might be hearing? Because in that process is the process of refining the Lord's voice in our life. And as we refine the Lord's voice in our life, victory is on the other side. Because see, condemnation wants to connect you to defeat. But the Lord's voice wants to connect you to overcoming victory. He wants to bring you out of the place of the pit and into the place where God has already assigned you, into the place of promise. And so those are the things that are made available to us when we begin to understand a little bit about what God's voice is and what it's doing in our life. One of the things that I looked up here the other day was, and we talked about last week, was that condemnation. And there's at least two words that are translated as the English word condemnation, one of them being krisis, which is K-R-I-S-I-S, which simply means a decision. But it's where we get the word crisis. But the other one is katakarima, which means an adverse sentence, which we can understand what an adverse sentence is that something that somebody is spoken against us, something that somebody's made a judgment against us. But here's another way that I heard it or saw it defined is that condemnation is to be declared unfit for use. Now, I don't know about you, but I know that there's been times in my life that I thought I had been declared unfit for use. Not something that I want to reflect on or spend much time on. But those were the things that's where I was at that time and at that moment. And what I want you to understand is that is not the nature of God. Because He's going to declare you to be fit as a king. He's going to declare you to be fit as one to overcome, as one to step into victory, to one to become an overcomer in everything that affects you. One who is destined into victory. Hallelujah. John 3:17 says this. It says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." That the world through Him might be saved. See, that's the nature of our God. It's to come and to save. It's to come and deliver. To come and to heal. Come and to make whole. That is what His nature is. That is His call upon our life. Is to heal, save, and make whole. To deliver us out of all that the enemy has tried to cast against us. Recognize the condemnation. And let me define it this way. Because see, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. We've known that. We've heard that. Well, that means that basically condemnation is this. It's the evidence of his accusation. It's also the evidence of his accusation having hit something. What are you talking about? Well, this way, look at it this way. Have you ever played Battleship when you were a kid? Come on, somebody's played Battleship here. All right. And so what do? You call out you call out some coordinates, and then they tell you whether or not that was a hit, right? And don't you hate it when on the very first thing they call out, they hit right in the middle of your sub? Because that's one that's supposed to be stealthy enough and small enough that they can't find it, right? It gives you some time to make a few more calls on theirs. Have you ever, like, when you're placing it, just said that wasn't a hit, and then when you're placing your little thing over there, you've moved it over one as you placed your other one in there? I didn't say I cheated. I just said, have you ever moved this over? Have you ever moved it over because you didn't want your sub to be discovered on the very first call out? You know, I didn't know anything about this, but my brother told me about doing that, so... I wouldn't have known otherwise. All right, we weren't always sanctified. But the deal is that what is it? Say, you register a hit, right? And then you get enough hit in your sub or your battleship or whatever it is sunk. Well, that's what happens with condemnation, is that when the enemy launches an accusation, just because he launches an accusation doesn't mean that you have to respond. It doesn't have to be a hit. But when we respond, then it becomes condemnation. I think it's time for us to learn how to cheat in the spirit and go, hey, you know what? You launched, and you targeted me right here, but you know what? I'm over here now. It missed me. We need to learn how to recognize that the enemy has targeted us and learn how to recognize to defuse it before it even gets there. Why? Because we know who we are in God. Why? Because we know that thing, that accusation that's been launched against us isn't God. When we know that accusation that was launched against us is not God, it allows us to separate ourselves from that. I talked about knowing how to separate ourselves from that which was personal. In other words, when we have an accusation launched against us, and a lot of times it hits because we feel it's personal. If we separate out the personal from it, then it's no longer a hit. In other words, if somebody has something to say and I don't feel a personal responsibility about it, I don't feel a personal investment in it, then it's no longer a hit. give you an example to clarify that. When somebody comes to you and they're up in your face and they're nattering at you and they're making all kinds of accusations towards you, as long as you feel it's all about you, you're going to respond in a way that's not going to be God. But if they're coming up in your face and they're saying all sorts of things about you and they're nattering in your face, they're being ugly, and you recognize this is not about me, this is about something that's wrong in them, it gives you an opportunity in that moment to become an intercessor. And as you begin to intercede for them, now you can begin to release truth over them and you free your heart from being targeted as a hit. When you begin to release truth over them, you release peace into their life. Peace is coming into your heart in the same moment. Don't look so shocked. It's possible. It's possible. God has that same level of peace for you. Because why? When you begin to intercede for somebody else, even as they're nattering at you, then you can begin to recognize that that's not about me. Whatever they're doing is not about me. But Lord, I thank you that you've given me an opportunity to bless them. You've given me an opportunity to intercede for them and to make a difference in their life. I no longer have to respond with rejection because, Lord, this is not about me. And so therefore I can begin to unleash the possibilities of God over their life. The strength of God over their life. The purpose of God over their life. The promise of God over their life. And as I do so, then change is made. Change in your environment, change in yourself, change most likely in them. So when you see the game Battleship, realize that's what you're up to. You're looking and understanding who you are in the Spirit. Because see, if I understand it, I don't have to let the enemy's accusation land, then I don't have to respond and deal with the shame, the regret, the disappointment, the hurt, all the other things that wants to create. See, the enemy wants to target you so that it creates hurt and disappointment. He wants to demoralize you. He wants to destroy you. That's his desire and his design of his word. But God has come that you might have life. God has come to give you wisdom. God has come to give you freedom from those things. He's come to give you encouragement and uplift. James, if you would turn with me to James 3. You know, if you want some guidelines on how to respond differently, James has got a lot of stuff in this book. Let's go to James 3. Let's go to verse 13. It says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This is wisdom which is not from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom which is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, and without hypocrisy." In other words, it's genuine, it's pure, it's full of love. "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." See, the enemy wants to move you into places like self-pity, pride, arrogance, jealousy. He wants to move you into those things where there's an unhealthiness because see, those are the things that if he can get you to move into self-pity, guess what? That's a hole that's not so easy to come out of. But if he moves you into, has moved you into self-pity, that's lacking the wisdom of the Lord. The wisdom of the Lord comes to set you free from those things, because it comes and delivers a message to your heart that is without hypocrisy. It's unwavering. It will bring forth truth. It will manifest truth as a result. It manifests righteousness as a result. As a result, then you can begin to see out of the hole self-pity puts you into. When you see that, then God can come and lift you up and begin to show you what life is like outside the pit. What the enemy is looking to do with all that is to get you to compare and to blame God. Like Josh said, God's a big boy. If you need to have a frank discussion with him, have a frank discussion. Because he's not going to back up. He's not going to back away from you. He's going to embrace you in love. He's going to embrace you in truth. He's going to embrace you in life. And as he does so, he embraces you with those things, and he's going to begin to show you his true nature and character. And out of knowing his true nature and character, we are transformed. We talked about last week that that condemnation is a connector for the sin cycle. That the enemy is always coming to reinforce bad behaviors. To reinforce bad behaviors. He's coming to encourage us to do those things, to influence us in ways that will cause us to come into agreement with him. Why does he influence us to come into agreement with him? He influences us to come into agreement with him because he recognizes that we are the only thing that can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8:38 and 39 tell us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. The only thing that's the exception there is our own choice. It's only our choice that can separate us from the love of God. And so, therefore, the enemy is good at influencing us to bring about and to make a choice for some, and make a decision for something other than the true purpose of God and the true understanding. So that's why he begins to try to influence us to see things from his perspective. When he's influences in the sin cycle, what's happening? Why we do something, he causes us to do something that we now regret and wish we hadn't done. Makes us feel bad. So what do? Because we feel bad, we go back and we step into our behavior that we've learned. A behavior that we've learned that's unhealthy, but it's the way we've learned to deal with what's going on in our life. When we do that, then that makes us feel bad all over again. But God is a new way. His different way is that for us to come and recognize that regardless of what we've done, regardless of whatever else is happening in our life, we can come and we can embrace him. We embrace the purpose of God. We embrace and are embraced and receive an embrace from God. Because as we're embraced by God, then we can begin to see the situation in a whole new light. As we're embraced by God, we begin to see and recognize that his purpose is far different than what the enemy was trying to tell us. That our destiny is a lot different than what the enemy was trying to tell us. The enemy wants to make it look hopeless. God wants to show you out of his encouragement, out of his life. The voice of the Lord is a connector to victory. The voice of the Lord is a connector to John 16:8 tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Some of you have heard this before, but we want to, but sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's convicting us. Convicting us is bringing us in a somewhat negative sense. Convicting us of sin seems like maybe it's similar to being condemned, but it's not. Because, see, conviction will bring life. Conviction will bring repentance and change. Conviction will move you from a place of being in the territory of enemy and trying to move away from God. Conviction will move you towards God. Conviction will give you the courage to and the grace to know that I can come to God. And so he convicts us of our sin, but see, at the same time, he's also convicting of us of our righteousness, which is what? Our ability to walk in alignment with God. Because if we are convicted of our righteousness, we know we have this ability to walk with God, now we can have every sin covered. Why? Because 1 John 1:7 tells you that if we'll walk in the light as he walks in the light, that we'll have fellowship with him, and that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. So if I'm choosing to walk in the light, that is sometimes maybe a little bit uncomfortable when you first start, but now it becomes a place of refreshing and strength. It becomes a place where we can begin to see that God is alive and well, and that out of this we have purpose in him. Because as we begin to understand the grace and the light of God being around our life, we recognize that that is a place of safety and sanctuary. The enemy wants to keep you out of the light, into the darkness. That's the only thing that can bring condemnation. God says if we'll walk in the light, if we'll choose the light, if we'll choose the light, I'll take care of the rest. All I need for you to do is just choose the light. If you'll choose the light, he'll take care of everything else you have need of. It says in Luke 10:19 that he's given you power over all the power of the enemy. That power is your ability to choose. It's your liberty to choose what you would do. He's given you a jurisdiction over all the power of the enemy. As he's given you a jurisdiction over all the power of the enemy, that power of choice is the only thing that the enemy could use against you if you choose to side with darkness. As long as you choose to side with light, he'll bring you into the light. As long as you choose to side with light, he'll bring you above and outside of the realm of darkness. It doesn't matter what we did. See, only the enemy wants to continually bring up your past and cause you to, he wants to play those old tapes. And he wants to cause you to shrink back from God because of those old tapes. But it doesn't matter if that tape was 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago or 50 years ago. It doesn't matter when that tape was played, when that tape was created. It matters what I did with it, whether I will come to God with it. Because if I come to God, then in the light of God, I begin to have fellowship with him about it. I begin to find that there's favor and honor in God, that there's a place of strength in him and a place of overcoming that I'm connected to. See, sometimes we have such an overactive conscious, an overly sensitive conscious. We begin to feel conviction or condemnation over things that were never supposed to be condemning. The enemy will use that against you. He'll cause us to feel condemned over things that the Lord never even said. What it does is it causes us to make a whole new set of rules for ourselves. When we're trying to make a whole new set of rules for ourselves, then he begins to. When we make a new set of rules for ourselves, it begins to give the devil license in our life. Why? Now it becomes one of those things where it's the grace of God plus. You see this being walked out in Galatians 2. Remember in Galatians 2 that Paul had to come to Peter, and he began to speak to Peter. And as he spoke to Peter, he began to tell Peter that, hey, you can't draw aside and not eat with the Gentiles just because the other Jews showed up. See, Peter was now beginning to think that maybe my salvation is based in grace plus my action. See, and so Paul began to tell him, no, your faith, the thing that resolves this, the thing that will always solve this for you is faith. Because if I am saved by faith and faith alone, then I know that I'm walking right where God has told me to walk. He began to speak to Peter, and that was the upshot of it, was that he told him that, you know, you can't create these rules and laws. You can't mandate things that the Lord is not asking you to mandate, because when you do that, then you're placing yourself back under the bondage of the law. He said, you're saved by faith and faith alone. Galatians 2:20, because now my life is saved by faith. Go with me to Galatians 2:20 real quick. Here it is, Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Who loved me and delivered himself up for me. The whole book of Galatians was about explaining to them that they don't need to put themselves back under the law, but that they can live by faith. When we're listening to condemnation, what that's doing a lot of times is the enemy is trying to put you back underneath law. But we live by faith. We're saved by grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2 and 8. We're saved by grace through faith. And see, it's in that grace. It's not grace plus my actions. So the Philippians 2 and 13 tells us it's God who is at work in us. It doesn't say it's us who are at work in us. See, the enemy was wanting to make this all about do, do, do. What you do, how much you do, if you do, if you don't do. God is saying it's about be. Will you be with me? Will you be the son I've asked you to be? Will you be content and rest and at rest in me? Will you allow me to show you how to just be with me? Why? Because I've already done it for you. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing. To be anxious for nothing. John 14:1 says, let your heart not be troubled, but believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God and believe also in me. This is the be. Be in him. As we're in him, and we're allowing Holy Spirit to minister in us and through us, as we're in him, then Holy Spirit is free to speak whatever he needs to speak. See, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13, tells us the Holy Spirit comes as the guarantor of your salvation. He didn't say he made Ed the guarantor of your salvation. He didn't say he made Kim the guarantor of your salvation. He didn't make Pastor Chuck the guarantor of your salvation. He said, Holy Spirit is the guarantor of our salvation. It's not about what we're doing and how we're enforcing. It's how much we'll allow Holy Spirit to move in our life. James 4:7 tells us that that if we'll submit ourselves to God, that's resisting the devil. And then he says that God will draw, we'll draw near to God, God can draw near to us. See, when you begin to submit yourself, that's drawing near to God. When you begin to submit yourself, that's exactly what was being released in the testimony, is that he began to speak about how he was just submitting himself to God. When he said, I want to hear, you're submitting yourself to God. That's resisting the devil. That gives you opportunity to make a change. That gives you opportunity to grow in the Spirit. It gives you opportunity to come into maturity. Because why? Because we submit to God. And as we submit to God, then there's a natural outflow of that, is it resists the devil. It says also down a verse or so more, is that if we'll humble ourselves in His presence, He can exalt us in due season. That comes into that place where you begin to see that God is doing something in your life. God is overcoming, and because of that, you begin to understand just who He really is. We don't have to be beat up by every situation and every circumstance, because we can understand that God is with me and He's for me and He's not leaving me. It's His nature to be with me. It's His design to be with me. It's His design to forgive us. It's His desire to forgive us. His desire to forgive us even before we ever sinned. Even before we were ever born, He desired to forgive you. The rest of it is for us to make a choice to believe what He's already doing. You know, so there was something that I was just said as we were starting the service just before we began to worship, and having faith in God, it's not blind faith. Having faith in God is not a place of blind faith. Having faith in God is a place where we've examined and looked at all the options. We've examined and looked at all the other alternatives, and we've come to a conclusion that this is the best thing there is going. Having faith in Him is being convinced that His, being convinced and convicted that who God is who He said He is. And that who He is more than enough. And He's more than a conqueror over my life. When I can begin to believe Him for what He said He is, and I believe Him for who He is, now then I can see my life through a new perspective. I want to ask you a serious question. Have you ever read the Word and felt condemned by what you read? None of you have ever done that. You're a bunch of holy people, aren't you? That's awesome. But see, there is a place and a possibility that at times people have read the Word, because I hear it a lot. They read the Word and they're condemned by it rather than convicted. They read the Word and they're condemned by it, because why do I know that? Because they quit reading. They back up from it. They back up from God. And that tells me that they're condemned by it rather than convicted. And what that is a misunderstanding of what is being said, a misunderstanding of who God is. Because if we really understand that God is life, that God is love, that God is light, then we're going to be drawn into those things. And that as we read it, if we understand those things, we can begin to understand what the mission of the instruction was. Go with me to go to 2 Timothy first. I guess that didn't make sense. 2 Timothy, before we go somewhere else. Second 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. Because see, it is possible for the devil to come and quote you scripture and use it to beat you up. He'll use it. I hear people that have been beat up by the word all the time. I hear it. And most sozos that I go through, somebody has had somebody who spoke scripture over them, or the devil came to them and gave them a piece of scripture, and it only resulted in condemnation in their life. But why are we surprised? Because the devil used scripture when he came to Christ. He spoke, and has the word said to Eve? What did God say? In other words, it's a typical thing for him to come and misquote the scripture, come and try to use the scripture to an advantage. Why? Because if he can use it and present it in a legalistic fashion, sometimes we'll respond to the legalism rather than to respond to the spirit of what God was saying. And so what we want to know is the result or the effect the scripture is supposed to have. And here's what's supposed to be going on. Verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 says this: all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction or instruction, and for training training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. Now I want you to back up with me to 1 Timothy. See, one of the things about the Word of God is that He'll never contradict Himself. God doesn't contradict Himself. The Word here says this, 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Say, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of our instruction is love. The goal of every instruction, every word that we see or hear in the Word, every time that we read the Bible, the goal of the instruction is love. It's to bring us into a place of safety and sanctuary in this love that God is. It's to bring us into a place of knowing His heart for us and knowing what makes us safe in Him. As the goal of His instruction is love, now then, if I keep that in mind, it's impossible for me to receive condemnation because somebody misquoted something. If I find it and I receive it and it doesn't feel like it's taken me to a place of love, now I have to begin to understand and begin to reflect and remember that this goal of instruction is love. And then I allow my heart to focus on the love of God, and it will lead me to the truth of what is there. It will lead me to the place of truth. Go with me to Psalm 103. I need to finish up here real quick. Mr. Josh, thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for just being willing to be transparent. And, you know, that's really all it takes for us to release the Word of God, is just being willing to be transparent. We can release, as we release testimonies and we're transparent before the people and transparent before God, it's not about the scripture that we've memorized. It's about the life that we're willing to live with Him. It's about how much we're willing to let what we do understand to change us. And here's a little bit for our understanding. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He is mindful that we are but dust. He knows how we're made. He knows how we were created. He knows our weaknesses and our strengths. And because he knows those things, he is not only willing to forgive, but desiring to forgive and to move us into the place of the sanctuary of being one with him. As we come into that oneness with him, we come into an understanding of who we are. We come into a right standing, a righteousness that we talked about several weeks ago. Righteousness comes from right standing with him. And it comes from understanding and knowing that he's a God of compassion, of great loving kindness. A God who understands who we are, and because he understood who we are, he sent us a son. And because of that, we have victory and freedom. And we don't have to submit to the insinuations, the deceptions, all the other things that the enemy wants to do. The accusations don't have to find a target in us. Because even if we were that person at one time, that's not the person that's standing here now when you've accepted Christ. Even if you were that person when the crime was committed, that's not the person who stands here now covered by the blood. Amen? Amen. Mr. Chris, if you'll bring that big old basket up. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We get to see and learn how to hear God. As we learn how to hear God, we'll know more, even more about him. As we allow him to speak in our hearts, greater freedom is released both in us and through us. This nation is in a very pivotal time, and as such, it calls for us to hear God and hear him and begin to respond to what he's doing in us and through us. So I just ask you to just ask the Lord, what is it that you will want us to do here in this offering today? Let clarity of heart begin to guide you. Because God never speaks in condemnation. He's not condemning us. He's encouraging us, lifting us up, causing us to draw near. Hallelujah. God bless y'all.